Welcome to the MGX Crop Report conference call. I'm Dan. I'll be your moderator today. Today's commentary is provided by Jack Scoville of the Price Futures Group. Thank you, Jack, for taking time out of your busy schedule to provide the commentary today. I would like to remind you that opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not of MGX. Nothing stated in the commentary should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and is the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from the media representatives. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call to please use the mute feature on your phone to not disrupt the commentary with background noise. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jack.
Okay, well, I guess I'll cover everything, and since we have a member of the Delta Farm Press, maybe I should talk a little bit about rice as well. But we'll start with the big numbers. Certainly the production estimates were the highlight of the report here, as they normally are at this time of year, and the numbers were negative. Production at the higher end of trade guesses for both corn and soybeans, with the production for corn at, let's see, when I get there again, 14.395 billion bushels, and yield a full bushel above the average trade guess using the Dow Jones data. At 171.7. So, and the ending stocks came in at just over 2 billion bushels, at 2.002, which was also, well, pretty much dead in line with the trade expectations. And what USDA did was find quite a bit of feed demand, especially. They did raise the ethanol and the food and the industrial demand as well, but really they picked up on the feed demand. And we'll have to see if that actually comes to be true. Prices for corn are cheap enough that you should see quite a bit of feed use. However, there will be some questions about that side, just because we're going to wonder if we have the animal numbers. USDA is thinking that we will, so maybe that takes a little bit of the hurt off of that particular estimate. And then for the production of soybeans, 3.882 billion bushels in the that was the average guess. So 3.913 was the production, and the yield at 46.6, which is 0.4 of a bushel above what the trade was looking for. So USDA definitely kind of, I think, caught the market a little bit by surprise with both these estimates, not necessarily where they are in relationship to the average trade guesses, because they're within line, just a little bit above the average trade guesses and certainly within the range. But the talk had been here in Chicago over the last day or two that if the USDA might be conservative in their estimates and might come up with something a little bit lower. So there was probably a little bit of buying that we've seen come out of the market here, kind of accentuating the losses just because of that. I think that'll tend to keep the market under a little bit more pressure than we might normally expect with a report that is only really, at the end of the day, moderately negative. But the other point is that these are just big crops, and that's going to keep buying interest to a minimum as we move through. There's a lot of ideas that I've heard sub $3 corn a lot. I don't necessarily think we have to go there. My objective for this particular part of the move in the Dease corn is 316 now. We took out my first target at 339. For November beans, I can see us getting down towards the 950 area, and I certainly see no reason with these numbers to think I need to change that. The ending stocks estimate for beans up around 75 million bushels certainly implies we've got plenty of it. Now on to the wheat. When you look at the total package there, production left unchanged, imports up just a little bit, but and then the demand side, the exports cut a little bit, which the trade will expect more of that to happen. And that was really where the big surprise was. not a surprise, but that where the big changes were. And USDA, it cut its average farm price by 50 cents, which is probably as much a reflection of reality as anything else. I didn't really see anything on the individual classes, including the spring, to really excite me much one way or another. The spring production of 529 million bushels really kind of left unchanged. And I think, obviously, USDA more interested in seeing exactly what they got out there. And the ending stocks totals up a little, but were up considerably because of the cut in the demand side. And to me, I think the trade was expecting a cut in the export demand, but I think most of them were expecting that to happen a little later on in the game. Well, we've got tremendous competition right now all around the world. Of course, we all know about the Russian and Eastern European competition, and USDA showing that we're going to continue to have big competition all around the world by really picking up the world data, and I think that's where the big negative is for the wheat market here today, is and not so much in the U.S. data, but which really is kind of a non-surprise, except for the ending stocks estimates, but the world data up about 3.5 million tons, which it continues to imply that there's just no shortage of wheat around the world, and the U.S. is going to have to fight hard for every export it can get. And we've seen that already in the weekly export sales report, and USDA just following through with that idea. Looking over to the rice, which was probably the one bullish spot here, the production down considerably at 218.3 million hundredweight. I think that's a surprise to the market. I think the market was expecting an unchanged to higher production number. Certainly the yield reports have been great out of Texas and Louisiana, and the yields are expected to be strong as we move north. I've had one farmer in Arkansas cutting a little bit of rice. He's been very happy with his yields up there. But most of the Arkansas rice really just kind of starting to get cut. So, really, I think a very bullish production estimate here. We did cut the exports back, and that's going to be all on the milled rice side to cut use and leave the but even so, the ending stocks were cut about 1.5 million weight, and the average farm price actually up 10 cents a hundred over there. And so definitely a friendly report to the rice. Probably it might imply that we've seen a low in the rice. We'll have to keep an eye on that. When you look at the world data for rice, a little bit of a takedown there as well, I think mostly reflecting the U.S. numbers. I haven't had a real good chance to take a look at that. I see, just glancing at it now, that they did increase Indian production, which may or may not come to pass depending on how the monsoon works out over there. But I have to sit down and kind of analyze the rest of that a little bit more before I can make real any huge comments there. But all in all, it was a negative report. I think one that implies that we could see some further downside over time. Usually when we have big numbers and big production years, the harvest lows tend to come a little bit later on in the crop year rather than earlier in the crop year. That would imply that we could see some selling pressure in general over the next month or so before we can have any big chance of finding a bottom. I do see buying starting to creep into the market once the Dease corn gets, say, down towards below 320. Down towards the $3 area, and the no beans, once you get down closer to 950, you start to see some buy orders start to materialize on the books. So that seems to be the expectations from some of the commercial side of the trade as well. Haven't really seen much in the way of wheat buy orders surface too much, but I know that there's been a lot of talk that we could make a bottom in the $5 area. We've shot through my chart targets to the downside. My next target's like 460, which I really don't expect to happen. So I'm thinking that perhaps we could be getting close to a low as we speak. But corn and beans especially, maybe a little bit more to go yet.
All right. Thank you for the commentary, Jack. Andrea, do you have a question for Jack?
Yes. Hi, Andrea Johnson, Minnesota Farm Guide. Our price is getting low enough that we'll see any reduction in acres either in South America or in U.S. next year?
In South America, I think the trend is that we could see some corn acres reduced there. For some reason, they want to plant the beans. And I'm not too sure that we're going to see much in the way of bean reduction at all. And I also expect that as we move through, I also expect that after we do make lows, we're going to have to see the market, especially the corn market, react pretty good to the upside. I could see the market trading back eventually to 4 or 450. Not quite that high, but certainly something along in those areas. And the only reason why I think that is because we need to give people a reason to plant, and here in the U.S. and to plant corn. Right now, the soybean spread, soybean to corn, has been trading around 2.8, 2.9 to 1, soybeans over corn, which favors sales of soybeans. So I expect farmers, as we move forward, to probably look to sell soybeans and store the corn. And I expect that, well, as I said, I expect especially for the corn side that we're going to have to find a reason to get the guys to plant next spring. I think the Brazilians are going to go ahead and plant beans anyway. I don't really see that part changing at all.
Okay, thank you.
Michelle, do you have a question for Jack?
No, not right now. Thank you.
Yeah, Jack, a quick question. We've got some transportation, delayed harvest issues in the Northern Plains, North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, into the Canadian prairies. How does that impact the market, or is it actually going to have an impact on the market?
Oh, yeah, it's going to impact the market. I think one thing you'll see is the basis spreads remain very wide. And see, you know, a little bit what you saw up in Canada last year, which was some just terrible prices to the producer in the prairies, but the export prices remaining very high. You'll probably see that here down here in the coming year as well, with all this crude oil moving and the fracking going on, really tying up the freight. I know I had some requests for some people to look into some things for me over the last month or so, and just to try and get some barges put together here was a very, very hard deal to put together at all. So freight is going to be very, very tight. That implies lower than normal basis levels for Midwest farmers and higher than normal basis levels holding down at the Gulf of Mexico. I think you'll probably see that happen. I expect farmers to store corn and to sell beans either way, just because beans are giving them a better price. And corn's basically with corn at 90% of full carry, just about. And as cheap as it is, it's telling the farmer to store it. So I expect that to happen, and that will relieve some of the pressure somewhat. But definitely, I look for basis weakness probably right through the fall and well into the winter.
And as far as weather conditions, we're expecting some frost issues in northern North Dakota here in the next 24 hours. But no other real weather things on the horizon for any of the crops.
Well, I think we're going to keep a close eye on that. I think so far, you know, we've been able to skate by. I know they had some freezes in Alberta, especially western Alberta, and I know that there, you know, we're very aware of the fact that there's potential for some very cold temperatures here this weekend especially up there in the Dakotas. And it wouldn't surprise me, depending on when the forecasts are for this exactly to pan out, to see some short covering maybe the rest of the day today and into tomorrow, as speculators start to pull out of this thing, just because of the chance of a freeze. But I think we're going to have to really see some damage before we'll be able to really change the market. I'm not too sure. Uh, I think, you know, we're going to have to really see some damage to kind of turn this market around and turn it higher. You know, the numbers are big enough that unless we get some real damage over the longer haul, yeah, it's not going to do a whole heck of a lot. Can it cause a short-term pop in prices? Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for your questions, and thank you to Jack for providing today's commentary. Audio of this call will be available on our website later today. Additionally, MGX offers market commentary in both audio and text on the MGX website. Our next call will be on September 30th with the USDA Grain Stocks Report. Have a good day.